Hi, everyone. Welcome to Oscar Wilde, a podcast about film, always counting down to next year's Oscars. I'm Nick Ruhrkraut.
And I'm Sophia Simonello.
And we are back today. We took a little break. We're enjoying summer. I hope everyone had a great 4th. And we are talking about the top 100 movies of the century. So there were some lists that were put out there by the New York Times, by Rolling Stone, probably others also. But since it's 2025, we're a quarter of the way through the century and everybody loves a list. So we'll be talking about some of those. And then if you're a patron of our podcast, we are also releasing a 30th anniversary review of Clueless. So that came out in 1995. We'll be talking all about that movie, its legacy, and what we think of it. So we have a fun, filled episode today.
Yeah, I'm so excited for this. I think, you know, being 25 years into this century, it's been fun, I think, to look back at the movies that have come out in the past 25 years and really take stock in that list, think about the movies that we like, which directors have been really prominent for us and for others during that time period. It was really difficult for me to come up with my top 10 to really narrow it down. And I just loved seeing everyone's lists, all of the directors that participated, and then just people I follow on social media too, and friends, and just seeing, you know, what did they consider to be their top 10 of the century so far. I think list making is always fun. It's the same thing when the Sight and Sound list comes out or end of year lists. I think it's cool to see just how different people's tastes are and what movies really, really stuck out to them. And Clueless is also a movie that I really love, not of course in the 21st century from the 90s. So I'm excited to get into that one a little bit later on. But yeah, let's just start with talking about these lists of the top 100 movies of the 21st century. So there have been a couple of lists released already. So we had the big New York Times list, which was voted on by 500 film professionals. So these included directors, producers, writers, critics, and influencers too. There's also a New York Times readers edition of the poll, and Rolling Stone also released a list. So I think that different websites, different magazines, and publications will be releasing lists really all throughout the year around the century so far. But there were a couple of films that were consensus picks really near the top of all three lists that we'll talk about today. And those are Parasite, Mulholland Drive, There Will Be Blood, In the Mood for Love, Moonlight. Those, I think, were kind of clustered near the top of most of the lists that I looked at. But Parasite topped both the New York Times professionals and readers poll. So I know you're a huge fan of Parasite, but what did you think about this as the number one film pick of the 21st century so far?
Usually with these lists, it's some obscure movie, or I really wasn't expecting it to be something that I love so much. This is one of my favorite Best Picture winners of all time, and I know this only came out a few years ago, but the way these lists were created, at least with the New York Times, was that this was mentioned the most across all of the people voting. So it's not necessarily everyone's number one, but everyone mentioned it the most. And I think that speaks to its future legacy, that it will be remembered very well over time. That's the same for Mulholland Drive. I know that would be your number one, probably. And There Will Be Blood. A lot of these movies on the list, like, you would expect to see here. I think, like, you know, we could talk about every movie and, like, where it's placed, but, like, Interstellar being so low on the professional list, or The Worst Person in the World, or Gravity, and you get some like oddball movies towards the top. Like that, I expected to not really align with. But again, it's a list. Like my list would be at least fairly similar of the inclusions. I have some of mine that I'm like, why was this included? And this is how we rate movies. Like we talk about this all the time, of the effect it has the year it's released versus how I feel about it versus the caliber of the movie being made versus so many different criteria. And I think that's why it's fun looking at a list and just seeing how other people rate these movies or what they include, like the 40-Year-Old Virgin being on the Rolling Stones list. Like, I get that it was so important at the time, and it really did define a period of comedy movies in Hollywood. And Judd Apatow was at the top making Knocked Up and that. And I won't say that those are my favorite movies or that I would put that on my list, but I can understand why it's there too. So I love that there's a little bit of everything. There are some great international films on this list and a lot of movies that we've talked about on the pod too, and that are included in the Oscars. Thankfully, you know, there are some misses, but I think overall I'm pretty happy. And that's, I think, the best kind of reaction I could have expected. How did you feel about either certain lists or if you have any that you were like really surprised by?
Yeah, I mean, I think to start, like Parasite being the number one pick surprised me at first because it's just so recent in my mind, whereas something like Mulholland Drive, we've had basically 25 years almost, right? That came out in 2001 to really process that. David Lynch, he just passed away. So I think was expecting that to take the top spot, or even something like There Will Be Blood, which I think is incredibly indicative of the American experience and, you know, thinking about how emblematic that is of the 21st century, even though it takes place before then. But Parasite, when I started thinking about it, you know, I went back to as we were starting our pod, which was when I think we could feel the tides turning a bit towards Parasite in that Oscar season. And we both loved the movie. I think 2019 is a really incredible film year. But what Parasite did was it opened so many people's eyes to international cinema. We think about Bong Joon-ho and the one-inch barrier and what happens when people decide to watch films in a language that isn't their first language or a language that they're unfamiliar with, how it can completely open up their world. And Parasite was absolutely a movie that did that. I had friends and coworkers and, you know, people in my life who mostly watch blockbusters or English language films who went to see Parasite in theaters and loved it. So I think that also is part of the reason why it makes sense at the top of the list. I think its impact really just can't even fully be described. And this is really, I think, just outside of it winning Best Picture, which was a huge deal, totally outside of, I think, what a lot of people thought could happen that year. But I also think it's interesting that it topped the professionals and the readers list and was high up on Rolling Stone's list as well. But there weren't too many surprises. I think I was surprised so many people put Superbad on their lists. Seeing that in a few directors or actors' top tens was somewhat surprising. I'll also say one of the things that really jumped out to me in looking at the list. So as we go down the New York Times list, the professionals list, we have Parasite, Mulholland Drive, There Will Be Blood, In the Mood for Love, Moonlight, No Country for Old Men, Eternal Sunshine, The Spotless Mind, Get Out, Spirited Away, and The Social Network. Those are the top 10. But then right after that, Mad Max Fury Road, which I think, you know, we can't really overstate the impact of that film and how it kind of came out of nowhere. But at number 12, we have The Zone of Interest, which just came out in 2023. So I think that really surprised me just how far up the list that one was, only being 2 years old. But I think right now, as we're seeing what's happening in the world, I think in our own country, but also abroad, certainly with all of the conflict and the genocide taking place, The Zone of Interest will continue to be, I think, a really important and necessary film to audiences everywhere. And I think that one will only really go up on lists like this over time. I obviously was thrilled to see Phantom Thread in the top 25. That is my number one pick for movie of the century so far. Obviously, it's my favorite movie ever made, but I was excited that that was so high. I think my one criticism, though, is that we have some directors who have quite a few movies on these lists, and we don't have a lot of women represented. I will say that. I think that was a bit surprising. But I will say another surprise, big surprise that I had, was just how low the Tree of Life was.
Yeah.
79.
I was that get to me, there.
If I had to predict, I would have said like top 10, top 20, certainly. This felt like just such a, you know, it won the Palme d'Or. I think it's Terrence Malick's masterpiece. I think it's just a totally different outside the box film to detail the human experience. And I know you and I are big fans of that one. But to see it below After Sun and Everything Everywhere All at Once in particular, I was shocked. I really was shocked.
Maybe it's more of a critic's pick. Like, it is in my top 10, and that's an easy choice. It's probably even in my top 5. But that was such an important movie for me that I remember seeing in an art theater in Cleveland with my grandma and taking my mom, making them go and going multiple times because it affected me so deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a poster of it. It's like, how could it not be? And, you know, when I posted my ballot of 10 and people were like, oh, finally a list that I can understand. And people mentioned that. And I was really surprised by it. But yeah, being so far down the list, especially under other movies, they are like, I understand they're completely different movies. And it's hard to rank things like this, but I don't know. And maybe because it's harder to watch like one off just randomly. And yeah, upsetting. The other ones that weren't in the professionals list that I had, at least in my top like 20 or 30, would have been La La Land and Moulin Rouge. Moulin Rouge isn't in any of these lists. And I don't know. That was such an important movie for Baz and for movie musicals. Like, it changed a lot, and it was so memorable. And Catherine Martin, her collaboration with Baz Luhrmann on that, and just the design really set the stage for his kind of style. But talking about women, you mentioned After Sun. I'm glad that Portrait of a Lady on Fire is on all of these lists, but again, I would have had that higher as well. So
Yeah. Again,
we can kind of nitpick all day, but what is the list that you connected with most?
So of the three, I would definitely say the Rolling Stone list. So, I mean, There Will Be Blood at the top spot. I love that pick. In the Mood for Love also being number two. So that's in my top 10. So we'll read through what our top 10s would be. But I think In the Mood for Love has a great claim to the top spot, because what Wong Kar-wai is doing there in that film, if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. He is really pushing the form, right? Cinema is a visual experience, and there are stretches of this film with no dialogue. We are just seeing these beautiful jade greens, hearing this music, and really, I think experiencing the yearning between these characters. But I think just looking down this list, I love quite a few of the films here. So their top Coen Brothers pick is Inside Llewyn Davis, which is also my favorite Coen Brothers film. Zodiac is also really high, which is one of my favorite Fincher films. It's really Zodiac and Gone Girl for me. I go back and forth with there, so I really like its inclusion so high up. Before Sunset being where it is, Lady Bird being so high on the list as well, seeing Drive My Car there. There are a lot of great picks, but then the others that stand out that are either not mentioned on other lists or that might be lower on other lists, Burning, the Lee Chang-dong movie from 2018, is one of my favorite Korean thrillers really ever made. I will recommend this movie to anyone. I think it's just a fantastic slow burn, no pun intended, but I love that that's here. Tar, obviously. Nickel Boys, so this is a very recent pick too, but of the films last year, I think this is the one that deserves a place on the list. I also love the inclusion of Call Me By Your Name, The Souvenir, Michael Clayton. There are a ton of great picks here that I think belong on the list. And my favorite Wes Anderson film, Fantastic Mr. Fox, is also here. So I would say the Rolling Stone list is probably the one that is closest to my taste and also has some really unique picks. What about you?
I agree with that. And supplementing the ones that you mentioned that are only on this list were Faces Places by Agnes Varda. That is just an adorable documentary. I Am Not Your Negro is a fantastic documentary. Nickel Boys, I agree with. The White Ribbon is a Michael Haneke film that is from earlier in the century, but he's a phenomenal filmmaker. Very unique. And then Uncle Boon Me.
I love Uncle Boon Me. Another Palme d'Or winner.
Yeah. And I only saw this once when it came out, and that was, I think, early in my film journey. So I have to watch this again. But I do really love this list. Honestly, I think the one that I identify with most might be the Reader's List. And, you know, looking at that list when it was released, number 100, Avengers Endgame, it's like, oh God, writing this off immediately. But I think as we get closer to the top, you know, they have Killers of the Flower Moon on this list. And mm-hmm. that's something that I would have included too. Fantastic Mr. Fox, I agree about that. That one is a definite, but they also have Barbie, Perfect Days, Hereditary, Howl's Moving Castle, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only list this is on. The Handmaiden, one of my absolute favorites by Park Chan-wook. The Holdovers, it's like an incredible sequence of movies of that, The Holdovers, The Incredibles.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also have The Prestige and The Wolf of Wall Street. So I had the most unique films from this list that I would have had on mine, but also The Professionals list with Best in Show. I think that's a great pick. A Serious Man, Minority Report, The Favorite, The Lives of Others is another great international film from Germany, but then also Under the Skin and Volvere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like there's a little bit of everything, but I might have to say The Reader's List, which is, I don't know, we need like Ryan Lamb to comment of our man of the people.
I know, we really do need his take.
Yeah, we need his top 100. We'll ask him to and see how it relates to this list.
I almost feel like the readers weren't overthinking it. I think the professionals list, like that's where people were probably more inclined to say, oh, okay, I can only pick one film by the Coens or PTA or name X director. I have to think about it spanning the entire 25 years, right? Whereas I think the readers, like a lot of these picks are way more recent. So the recency bias is there where they might just be thinking, you know what? I really loved that movie. Joe Wright's Pride and Prejudice is also here, which after seeing that again in theaters, I agree. Like that would be on my long list for sure. I also agree with you. I love all of the Greta Gerwig inclusions on the readers poll, like Barbie and Little Women in particular. I also really like the inclusion of Mean Girls there because Mean Girls would be my studio comedy. That or Bridesmaids, I think that I would have put on the list just because of the movies that were important to me growing up in that genre. I think Mean Girls is a great inclusion. I mean, it changed the way that I think people talked about high school, about girls in high school. People are still quoting that. And I think that was just an important one for our generation. And yeah, pour one out for La La Land, a movie we will always defend and put high up on any list.
Talking about Mean Girls, my friend had it on his top 10, and I was like a little shocked by that. But for the professionals list that has Anchorman and Superbad, like it has the same effect, just a later date. And I think, you know, maybe if these professionals are older, you mentioned influencers being in there too, but maybe it's a younger generation's version of that, of like our Judd Apatow era of movies, I'll say. But it being in there, I totally agree with that. It should be. You know, we talked about it on our Patreon and had an episode after that newer remake came out, but the original, you remember every single bit and line and outfit, you know, it is so influential, just like our later conversation about Clueless and its time.
Yeah. So I think, you know, in thinking about the list, what are your top 10? If you want to just list them and then I'll list mine, we can see maybe what our overlap even is. And how did you, I guess, decide your top 10? Did you have criteria? Did you just follow your heart?
I looked at my letterbox and all of the 5-star review films that I have, and I looked through each decade. I may have looked through each year just to see what I had and to make sure, but I probably would have In the Mood for Love, Parasite, The Tree of Life, There Will Be Blood. That's definitely a top 4. I'll just go over the other 6. Children of Men, Mad Max Fury Road, Before Sunset, The Worst Person in the World, Lady Bird, and Portrait of a Lady on Fire. So that's my 10. I kind of wanted that to be like a nice collection of different kinds of movies. My runners-up would be like Call Me by Your Name, Frances Ha, Pan's Labyrinth, The Social Network, La La Land, City of God, which I recently rewatched and is just a fantastic Brazilian film, Past Lives, which I had to include, and Moulin Rouge. But I think my top 10, and these are all 5-star movies for me, but making a top 10, I think, is so difficult too. Over 25 years, it's a hard task to do, but what are your top 10?
It's really challenging. And the top 10 I'll say here could obviously change tomorrow. I love too many movies to really pick a 10, but the movies I landed on were, I think, just a combination of, it's funny, I think people do a lot of hand-wringing around, like, what is best and what is favorite? What's the difference? And for me, I just said, okay, what are the movies that, when I think about the past 25 years, really left a mark on me that I couldn't stop thinking about, that I had to keep watching? And then I told so many people, go see this, you will love it, or you might not like it, but you'll want to talk about it afterwards, or you might hate me for recommending it, and that's okay too. So mine, in no particular order, I have Jonathan Glazer's Birth with Nicole Kidman. I'm obsessed with that movie. I think it's just a perfect, perfect film. Burning, which I already talked about. Gone Girl, David Fincher. I know it's not, you know, there's no such thing as an objective best film, but when I think about, in particular, people's obsessions with true crime, for better or for worse, mostly for worse, I think this film really gets at that in just such a fun way. In the Mood for Love, Mulholland Drive. Yes, you were right about that. That had to be on my top 10. The Tree of Life. I rewatched that about a year ago, and I had just such an amazing, weird experience with that movie where I just thought, you know, is this the final movie? Is this, like, if you could just pick one film to really say it all about the human experience, is this it? I picked 2 PTA movies. I had to. He's my favorite director. So, of course, I went with Phantom Thread and There Will Be Blood, which, as I mentioned at the top, I think is just very emblematic of American greed and corruption and capitalism. Lady Bird, also from 2017. I think just a perfect movie and a perfect coming-of-age story because it's about mother and daughter. And I think all great coming-of-age stories do that perfect little trick. And then it wouldn't be a list for me if Todd Field's Tar wasn't included, because I think that Cate Blanchett performance is just absolutely towering. But I mean, I had so many runners up. That's the hard thing. I also just, I made a fun list of like my rewatchable movies from the era, like Frances Ha, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, School of Rock, Challengers, Jennifer's Body, The Devil Wears Prada, like movies I just watched over and over again that I loved, but I would be too chicken, I think, if I was voting in a list like this to include them. And then, I mean, other runners up too: The Power of the Dog, Portrait of a Lady on Fire, Bergman Island, Tony Erdmann, Certain Women. There are just so many good movies. Phoenix, which I love, Inside Llewyn Davis. Yeah. I could keep going and going and going.
So we have some overlap, but I think my reasoning in there is similar. You know, it's a mix of best and favorite. And I feel like my list is very cancer forward too. I realized I had like 4 different forlorn love stories in there, and ones that define American history, ones that define the history of the universe, some dystopian films, but it comes back to relating to these characters in these movies and just finding a connection. And I think that's so important and why we include the films that we do. And they're pretty diverse. I like both of our lists. You mentioned that Phantom Thread was your number one. So I feel like that's favorite over best with There Will Be Blood.
It depends who you ask.
Can you rank either of those? That's such a hard question too, especially for you, but like obviously There Will Be Blood is going to be on every list for all time.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because deep down for me, like, yes, it is like Phantom Thread is my favorite. There Will Be Blood is the best, but I also think Phantom Thread is just such a funny, mature, sharp film from him that's just so different and unexpected while still playing with similar themes he's explored before and similar actors. I think, though, There Will Be Blood, yes, it does satisfy like the best prompt, just because I think that's probably the closest he's gotten to that, you know, great American epic, the story of this toxic great man, right? And that story, right, it's his Citizen Kane. It's our generation Citizen Kane. And that, I think, is why people, you know, put it on so many best of lists. It just has this frightening feeling at the end that's also, that makes me laugh every time when Daniel Plainview says, "I'm finished," in that bowling alley. But, you know, it's funny, like if I was ranking my list, Phantom Thread will be one and There Will Be Blood will be two. So it's that fight within me of favorite versus best for sure. Yeah. And in that case, I'm always going heart over head. You know that. Yeah. It's the cancer way.
I mean, same. Well, this was fun. Let us know what your inclusions are. If you have any lists, I feel like we should make up a top 100 because I love making lists. Check out our letterbox because I'm sure we have tons of those already, but lots to look forward to, lots to love and look back on 25 years into the 21st century.
Yeah, this was so much fun. I loved just comparing our lists, but just talking about these movies and, you know, where they end up for people and how many people love them. And definitely follow us on Letterboxd. Look at all of our lists that we've created, how we've rated these movies and what we're watching. I also think this was just a fun exercise for me because so many movies I watch are older. They are pre-21st century for sure. So I thought to myself, wait, okay. So many of my favorite movies were made 50 plus years ago. I really need to focus on what's been going on the past 25 years in movies. But it was also great because it was a little look back on what we've covered so far on the podcast, right? Like how we talked about Parasite and Portrait of a Lady on Fire was a review of that was our first episode. It's not even in the main feed anymore because we didn't have, I don't even know if we had a name for our show. We had no music. We were sitting around your kitchen table recording it. I think we had one microphone maybe that we were sharing. So that really took me back. But yeah, it was fun. But next time on Oscar Wilde, we actually will be looking at the decade so far. So we're also halfway through the 2020s. So we'll be playing a little game, having our own Oscar ceremony called Oscars of the Decade So Far. So we'll be going through the major categories, picture, director, the acting categories, and we will be nominating people from past Oscar ceremonies, and maybe we'll have some extras who weren't nominated, depending on how we coordinate the rules. But I think it'll be fun to revisit, really, our show so far, because we started at the beginning of this decade. So it'll be a good way to check in, see how the Oscars have been going and evaluate the film so far again. So you'll have to play along with us. We'll release the rules and everything so you can, but I think it'll be a lot of fun.
I totally agree. I can't wait for that. Thank you all for listening. Feel free to rate, review, and follow us at Oscar Wilde Pod. If you'd like to listen to the next part of our episode on Clueless, a review of that film for its 30th anniversary, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/OscarWilde. We have a lot of bonus content on there, longer episodes that we released, including Challengers. But we have a lot of fun with that and different series that we post. Also follow us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Blue Sky.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next time.